With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Taco Palenque fans, we have something special for you. Try the Casero Taco now for only $2.75 Monday through Thursday. Flavor packed with premium sirloin rice and refried beans. Only at Taco Palenque. At participating locations for limited time, not valid for delivery. Other restrictions may apply.
From a highly secured network of top secret locations across North America, this is the Spurs Insider. Brought to you, as always, by Taco Palenque. I am your host, Mike Finger. I'm joined by Express News beat writer Tom Orsborn, Express News sports editor Nick Talbot, and we're going to start this week by offering hearty congratulations for a milestone to our colleague, Jeff McDonald, who more than a quarter of the way into Victor Wembanyama's rookie season as the lead beat writer covering the San Antonio Spurs. He now has covered his first victory. Should we clap for Jeff? How does it feel, Jeff?
I'm honored. I wasn't expecting this. You know, I'm completely taken aback. I want to thank everyone that helped me to get to this point. I did it on my own. There's no one to thank. Honestly, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. Like, they won four games. It's not my fault that it took them this long to win one for me. It's their fault.
For the listeners out there, Jeff, it seems like years ago that early in the season was not on the trip with Tom and I to Phoenix, where Victor Wembanyama outdueled Kevin Durant twice in the desert when it was still baseball season. And he had like Jeff's a proud father, a girl dad.
Well,
and he's a semi-proud father. He had a family obligation the night the Spurs vanquished the Houston Rockets at the Frost Bank Center this season in overtime. So here, mid-December, against LeBron James, the in-season tournament champion Los Angeles Lakers, on a Friday night in mid-December at the Frost Bank Center, was Jeff McDonald's the first victory he has covered for the local Cagers. And he didn't see it coming. I'm not sure many of us saw it coming. Tom predicted a victory last week, but he predicted that it would come on that Wednesday night on the Lakers back-to-back. It came on Friday. The Spurs lost some other games this week, but we're going to start this week on a high note and talk about that breakthrough against the Lakers on Friday night. What did you guys think?
Well, it was a good night. It was a good night for your local Cagers, but it's hard to just talk about it in a vacuum. I know you want to start on a high note, but it's hard to talk about the game in a vacuum because they came out two nights later and lost by 36.
Okay.
So is it really a breakthrough, or was it just a one-off?
Could it be both? A one-off breakthrough.
One-off breakthrough. It stopped the streak. We'll put it that way. And boy, was that a long streak. I was starting to wonder if they were ever going to win again. You know, you start to look at the schedule and like, well, then who are they going to beat? Honestly, we all did this. It was when do they play Detroit? Was what we were doing when we were trying to figure out when they are going to stop the streak. But as often happens, they break it against a team that's better than them. Let's put it all in context. Anthony Davis didn't play. A couple other Lakers starters did not play in that game. LeBron James did, and he was magnificent. But the Spurs played well that night, and I guess if there's anything you can take from that night, it's that question we've all been asking ourselves and also the players and coach. Like, you know, you see these flashes of how they can play and how it looks so great. Why can't they do that more often? And if they did, they wouldn't have these stretches where they win one out of 20. So I think that's kind of as, you know, that night was fun to watch them celebrate. We had fun kind of goofing around with Keldon in the locker room, and everybody was in a good mood. But as you get further removed from that night, you wonder why can't they have more of them? Like, it shouldn't be one out of every 20.
Your thoughts, Tom?
Well, Devin stood out with the career-high 36 points, finally got out deep into that 30-point mark. And then, you know, Jeff said that LeBron was magnificent, and yeah, at stretches he was, but there was a good five-minute stretch where Jeremy shut him down. Something Pop scoffed at a couple of days later. Analytics showed that LeBron was 0 for 5, had a turnover during that stretch that Jeremy was on him. And, yeah, to Pop's point, yeah, no one shuts down the king, the all-time leading scorer, but Jeremy pestered him enough to make a big contribution to that win. And, you know, it kind of, you know, underscored that maybe relieved of those point guard duties, you know, main ball handling duties, he can focus on what he does best.
To address both of those excellent points made by our two Spurs beat writers at once here, I'm not sure if it works, but it reminded me of my old friend Mac Brown, who used to bring up week after week, the other team has scholarship players too. And the reason I thought of that is because Jeff is asking why this can't happen more often, as many of us have asked. And Tom is pointing out that for 5 minutes, Jeremy Sochan outplayed LeBron James, which is true. But the point is, like, this is the NBA. Everybody has stretches where they can outplay LeBron James for 5 minutes, and where every NBA team looks like it's capable and playoff worthy for a game at a time, for 10 minutes at a time. It's just the bad teams don't do it more often. And that's sort of the blunt answer to all of this is the reason the Spurs don't do this more often, look great at times, is because they're an NBA team and all NBA teams look great at times. The reason they don't do it more often is because they're not a very good NBA team this year. And the reason Pop said that Jeremy Sochan didn't shut LeBron James down is because even the king, the greatest player of his generation, goes through stretches where he's going to get the short end of the stick against a younger guy. And you don't want to read too much into 5 minutes, and you don't want to read too much into one game. But this frustration of why can't Jeremy play like that more often, or why can't the Spurs play like that more often, is just part of being a not-so-good team. Is that the end of the podcast there?
I'm not asking for them to be playoff worthy. I'm just asking for, let's say, 2 wins out of every 20. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're frustrated out there in podcast land, listening on your digital devices, wondering why it can't happen 2 times out of 20 instead of 1 time out of 20, I totally understand that it probably should.
2 nights later, they're back to reality with a 36-point loss to New Orleans. But for that one brief shining moment, you saw what they can be, or what two players can be, you know, going forward eventually, if they can find that consistency with Jeremy's defense and Devin's scoring.
I don't want to belabor the Jeremy point again, because that's kind of a trope we're depending on too often here. But
intended.
Also, I don't think you should say Jeremy and point in the same sentence.
No, you're going to get
PTSD.
Yeah. But when we've talked to Jeremy maybe like 5 times in 22 games, and we waited him out and talked to him after his post-game routine after that victory on Friday. And he was pleasant enough, I guess. He was positive in many ways. But when asked about, like, is the fact that you're not playing point guard anymore, does that represent any kind of closure? Is that putting your mind at ease the rest of the season? He said something along the lines of, I don't know how to answer that. That wasn't the answer I expected. And it wasn't maybe the most assuring answer.
Did you talk to Jeremy Sochan or Jason Statham? What was that accent you just did?
I don't think I did an accent there. I really don't think I did.
You sound like one.
Yeah.
But he did. He said he didn't know how to answer that. The kind of
Mary Poppins.
On, so.
Were you interviewing Mary Poppins?
You know, spoonful of sugar, blah, blah, blah.
That's our podcast mantra.
Yes.
There you go.
Especially in a season like this.
We need
that Friday night sugar, victory was a spoonful of sugar that makes the medicine of the other 69 games go down.
But I'm sorry that I interrupted you, because I think it would be fun, good to talk about Jeremy for a little while, because I would like to see him get back to being what he was last season. I really liked what he was last season and where this was all going. And the point guard experiment just seems to have sidetracked him in a way. And I would like for him to get back to being what they drafted him to be, which is, you know, this defensive pest, which we saw for spurts against LeBron, as Tom mentioned, and just this sort of connector on offense. Like, he doesn't have to score a bunch of points. And he doesn't really even have to, like he's not a stats guy. He doesn't have to be a stats guy. He's of all the people on the team, he's sort of the eye test guy, where you just have this feeling, man, that guy's playing really well. I would like to see him get back to being that kind of thing. And we haven't seen it yet. Like, we haven't seen rookie year Jeremy Sochan yet. And maybe getting back to playing his natural position will help him get there. It's been 5 games, I think. Maybe as he settles back in, he'll look that way. But I was a fan last season. Like, I saw what they saw and thought, this guy's going to be a huge part of what they do going forward. And I would like to see him get back to being that sort of wrecking ball type player.
And he has not. Through 5 games, he has not. Even in the new world.
One of those games was pretty good. I can't remember. Maybe it was the Lakers game all around was pretty good.
Yeah,
everyone looked good in that game.
Yeah, the Lakers game, he looked a little bit better at 11 points, 8 rebounds. I mean, everyone looked better. Even Malachi Branham had a pretty good game. He had 8 assists. I mean, that's one reason they looked so good, is they distributed the ball a little bit better.
Wow, we're this deep in the podcast. We haven't mentioned a certain rookie, though.
CD Sissoko is tearing it up in the G League. Did you see that? He had a dunk or something. I don't know. I see
Serge Ibaka Rice re-signed by the Austin Spurs. Is that the rookie you're talking about, Tom?
Yes.
Who else can we be talking about?
David Duke Jr.
He's big fella, Victor.
Oh, I forgot about that.
What do you want to say about Victor, Tom?
He does what he does, right? Are we going to make a deal about him being at the 5 now? Like, his numbers are a lot better at the 5.
A lot better. Are we
going to make a deal, or does it matter? Like, Pop says it doesn't matter. He's still playing both ways. He's still playing on the perimeter some.
I think what stood out about Victor recently is his appearance after that 36-point loss to the Pelicans. You know, always accountable. He's shown up. I think he's only missed one post-game podium session.
And let's be frank about that. The one at home that he missed, we gave him the day off. That was on us. It wasn't him like ducking.
Yeah,
that was us saying, hey, we've talked to him a lot, and let's give him the night off.
Yeah.
So yeah, to your point.
So we could talk to him at a practice. So we basically, the media as a group decided, rather than bring, because he's the only player on the team that's been in the interview room every night, and that's partly because of just the attention that he receives and how many people want to talk to him. But that one game, it was in the middle of that long losing streak, and it was like, hey, they have some nights coming off or days coming off. We could talk to him at practice instead of post game. That would be more productive, and he agreed. So yeah, he's been Jeff mentioned in the past few days out in the real world about his days covering the Tim Duncan Spurs, and Tim Duncan was not Victor Wembanyama in terms of doing media every night and wanting to do media every night, but much like young Victor Wembanyama, I'll let Jeff finish the thought there, but just go ahead there, Jeff.
Well, Tim was great when you'd get him, right? Like, whenever you'd get him. And by the end of his long run, he didn't see the point of showing up every night. You know, they're still
winning. To the
media. To the media.
To the media.
Right.
Shout out to Mike Monroe.
So, you know, they're still winning 60 games. And honestly, he didn't see the point because, you know, Bryn Forbes had a big night. Let him talk. Like, let him get some shine in this win, you know, that kind of thing. Also, Tim just liked going home. But if that team, when that team lost, and especially if they lost and Tim stunk it up, he was in the locker room, ready to talk to us, willing to talk to us. Because that's leadership, right? Like, you don't want to lose a game and like a role player and a teenager has to take on the responsibility of asking questions, answering questions about why'd you lose? You know, what's frustrating about the, all those questions? Like, those are for the team leaders to answer. And Tim always showed up for that. And Victor's that way too. It's admirable, but I almost don't think it's fair sometimes. And I think that's one of the reasons we were kind of like, let's give him the night off that night. Because why bring him in here to talk about the 12th loss in a row? For the, you know, let somebody else do that, and we'll get him on a after practice and ask him things that are not basketball related necessarily. Mm-hmm. So that's where that goes. Like, Tim, we would go weeks without talking to Tim, but if they lost a game, it was like clockwork. He would be in the locker room, and you're talking to Tim Duncan that night because he's going to take the arrows for the team and not leave some end of the bench guy to answer those questions.
Manu did it all the time. He was always good, bad, good game, bad game. He was there. I go back to the 90s, 80s and 90s. Sean Elliott was great at that. I can't ever remember him not being available. And DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. He was always there.
Victor, definitely. One thing you can't question about Victor is his willingness to embrace everything that comes along with being the face of the franchise, next face of the NBA. That is too much hype. Probably, especially for a team that is 4-20, whatever. But he wants to be it, and he sees he embraces the good and bad of it. Like, that, it cannot be fun, and he doesn't look like he's having fun coming into that room and answering the same questions about a 13th straight loss in a row. Like, that can't be something that anybody looks forward to. But he understands that's part of the deal, I think. For a 19-year-old, that's pretty impressive perspective, poise, all that stuff, where he understands that this is part of the gig. If I want everything that comes along with these millions of dollars he's making endorsements, the millions of dollars he expects to make on the court or from his NBA contract in the coming years, all that stuff, he gets it. And, you know, like, I think it's worth Jeff pointing that out and telling those stories, because 36-point loss to the Pelicans on Sunday. There were two guys who talked, right? Victor and Jetty Osman.
Mm-hmm. And when we finally got to the locker room, Trey Jones.
Trey Jones was
sticking around.
Trey Jones, stand-up guy too.
Yep. I mean, he's not a star.
Mm-hmm.
You want your stars to be your stand-up guys in a perfect world, but Trey Jones is another guy that's there every night. And he's not even a starter. He's a second string point guard. But you know, he's anytime you need him, he's there, and he's there to explain things to you and to answer questions about why they lost the 17th game in a row. And I don't know, you need guys like that in the locker room. Not just the media, but the team needs guys like that.
I also feel that, just to tell the whole story and make sure that nobody aggregates into this into shots that we're not taking, like, I have a great admiration for the way, like, Keldon Johnson's handled his business over the past few years too. He's generally there, and he's generally upbeat, and just seems like a good teammate and all that type of stuff. It's just we're talking more about the fact that the teenager is the guy that's already the every night guy, right? I don't want to speak for Jeff and Tom, but it's more about Victor than taking shots at other guys, right?
Yeah,
sure.
But
thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah,
saving us from aggregation hell.
it just is notable that, you know, on some nights Victor's the only guy talking. Victor's the only star talking, and that may be just because of the way the team has decided to organize things or whatever. But for that 19-year-old guy to do that night in and night out, I think it's worth pointing out. They ended the losing streak, and then they went right back to a blowout loss. Where does that leave the state of the local cagers heading into, we're not going to talk to our viewers or listeners for another 2 weeks. We're going to take a week off for the holidays next week.
Yippee.
So let's look forward to Tom's on the road. He's in Milwaukee at an undisclosed, highly secure location, preparing for shoot around. Victor is not going to play Tuesday night. So by the time this hits your earbuds on Wednesday, you won't have missed any Victor Wembanyama perspective. But what is the state of this team right now?
It hasn't changed. I mean, they broke the streak, but it's still a team very much muddling through things. I think the change in the starting lineup, getting Sohan off the ball, getting Vic at the five, has been interesting and maybe better, and maybe there are more wins in the offing because of that. But it's, it goes without saying, it's very much a work in progress. Like, I'm interested to see, we're going to take 2 weeks off, how many wins they will have when we come back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to take 1 week off, but it'll be 2 weeks between podcasts.
Sorry. 2 weeks between, in those 2 weeks between podcasts, how many wins are they going to have?
Tom is the prediction man. So look at this. You got your schedule on you there, Tom? Over the next couple of weeks, by the time we'll be back in the first week of January, how many more games will they have won, Tom?
Well, they're going to win in Chicago, Mike.
Whoa. They're going to win in Chicago.
They will win in Chicago.
Victor, Justin Fields playing for the Bulls?
Victor will be available that game.
Okay.
I've been told the right ankle soreness that's going to keep him out, that kept him out, or will keep him out against Milwaukee, is minor. It's just a maintenance type deal. He'll be back on the court.
Let's go through it.
Well, it's next
Saturday at Dallas.
They're not going to win that game. But the following week, they have Utah at home.
Okay.
And they have a pair of games at Portland. Like, there's some wins in there. There's some potential wins.
How many?
Well, I'm not the prediction man.
Oh, that's why I'm asking Tom.
Well, I gave you a prediction.
Well,
I want you to predict every single game. Like you're some kind of magic genie or magic.
No. Our next podcast will be recorded on Tuesday, January 2nd. Before then, let me run through them, Tom. At Milwaukee, at Chicago, at Dallas, home against Utah, two at Portland, New Year's Eve against the Celtics. You fellas enjoy that one while I'm in New Orleans. That is 7 games. And we will record before that Tuesday night game at Memphis. So in those 7 games, Tom, do you see 2 victories?
I almost see 3, Mike.
You almost see 3.
Chicago,
do you see 3? Uh-huh.
Chicago, Utah, and one of those Portland games.
Big leap forward.
That would be a pretty good couple of weeks. How does Jeff and Nick feel about that prediction?
I think they're running the table.
I don't think they're running the table, but I think he could be right. The thing with the only Portland is you're on the road and it's a back to back, which makes it a little bit tougher. But obviously, Portland's a team you can beat, and Utah's a team you can beat, and Tom's already on the record that they're going to win in Chicago, so we got to give him that one because Tom's going to be right. So
was it right? Tom hasn't been right yet this year, by the way. He's predicted 2 victories and he's 0-2.
Yeah.
Well, he was sort of right. He just kind of got the wrong people being out on the wrong night against with the Lakers. He said someone's going to sit.
Thank you, Nick.
And you know, and it was the wrong nights. He had him in the wrong order, basically.
So LeBron James did sit the first night, and the Spurs still
LeBron
lost.
The second one. Yeah, well, Davis and Russell and everyone else sat. That's the...
Okay.
Well, at least I didn't predict that they were going to the playoffs like somebody else.
Who did that?
Some guy who got really excited in Phoenix.
That guy who came into the media room?
Had his arms up in the air, waving around. We're going to be working in May. We're going to be
Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic?
Don't slander Dwayne. We know who it was.
Okay, this is outrageous. you're making accusations that are devoid of all context and meaning.
I speak the truth.
Dwayne came in. Who else was there? Michael C. Wright of NBA.com. There was somebody national came in and was
the
like,
voice was there, then, the voice of San Antonio.
I'm the voice, right?
Yes.
And so the,
Dwayne came in and he's like, "You guys are going to be working till May," and it was kind of a joke thing. Like this team, this
I misread
you could
it.
Tell he was clearly. That's because you don't have a sense of humor.
No,
Dwayne came in and he said, "You guys are being fellow work until May," and I, adding to the joke, kind of sat there and said, "We're May. We're going to be working till June because it's so preposterous." That wasn't.
I don't know. Like a game later, you were out there tweeting at halftime of the Toronto game about how great this team was.
Thank you, Jeff.
Again,
and they didn't win for like 6 weeks.
Again, this is outrageous. This is outrageous because that tweet back when I used to tweet was about how I think if you read it, it's the Spurs are up by 22 points. Against Toronto after the two victories over Kevin Durant and Phoenix. And the tweet was something like, when do we start pondering the unthinkable scenario in which the Spurs might be good? They might be good. That is the over the top prediction of playoffs that you guys are talking about.
No, I don't remember that. I remember you posting like, book your river parade.
Yeah.
This is fake news.
Definitely said book your river parade. That was.
I remember that.
You guys are gaslighting me here on the podcast.
Why he doesn't tweet anymore. He doesn't do the. He doesn't have any more outrageous claims to make.
Hey, this is absurd.
Well, there's recourse. Take us to court. There's defamation suits.
Speaking of defamation, did you get any more email this week? Like just slandering me.
There were some people that act like we have very nice listeners. And so in response to the past couple of weeks of quoting the negative listeners, we had some people who were like, "Hey, we actually like what you're doing. We wouldn't change a thing, blah, blah, blah." But that doesn't get you read on the podcast. Like we're not going to read the nice stuff. That's no fun. We appreciate you, all of us. We love that you listen. And the nice emails, very, very considerate of you. We really appreciate it.
I just think
we're not going to waste people's time.
For my own self-esteem, I would like to hear one of the nice emails.
So,
the compliments were of Tom and I.
Oh, okay.
The compliment. Nobody's complimenting you. Like one guy, something along the lines of, "Yeah, that fella Jeff's very, very, very condescending and hateful and has nothing to offer. But I really, really love the podcast anyway." You know,
I told my mom to stop emailing you.
Anyway, no, we're not gonna read viewer emails this week. If you have any suggestions, keep them coming. That's great.
You only read them when they're
really
mean to me.
To get on the air.
Yeah, if you're mean to Jeff, I will read them.
See, this is your. See, now you're seeding the clouds here. You're just asking for people to write in and. Make up harmful things about me, incorrect things.
Make up?
Just yes.
Seeding the clouds, does that work?
Only an idiot would think I was condescending.
But again, we're going, just the programming note, as we mentioned earlier, we're going to take next week off. We'll be back in the new year. In the meantime, keep checking out the Jeff McDonald's fine coverage in the written word, on the Dead Tree edition and online. He's much, much less condescending and obnoxious. Like if you want to experience Jeff McDonald, read his stories in the newspaper. You can do that at expressnews.com. Tom Orsborne, always great, is on there too. You can find his stuff in the Spurs Nation newsletter. Anything else we need to mention? Any other recommendation? How about this? It's our last podcast before the holidays. Any gift wishes or gift recommendations for the viewers out there, basketball related or otherwise?
Yeah. For the listeners or for me?
The listeners.
Pop gets a mic, a little mic set he can work on at home, you know, grabbing the mic and.
I see. Sure.
What are those things called? When I was a kid, there was some kind of mic. I don't know.
I don't have any idea what. Can anyone explain what Tom is talking about?
He's making a joke about Tom yelling at the crowd on the microphone.
Pop yelling.
Yeah, a little karaoke machine.
Yeah, karaoke machine. There you go.
Good gravy.
There you go.
Karaoke machine for Pop.
Okay. And
you could sing Islands in the Stream.
And someone could send me a recorder so I can get Mike Finger on the record when he makes playoff predictions.
Yeah, that guy,
he
talks a big game behind the scenes, and then you get him on the podcast and he acts like he didn't see
We're going to be working in May.
Yes. More entertaining.
They're never going to lose again.
This team playing basketball.
Go ahead. What did you say, Nick?
I said more entertaining, Pop with a karaoke machine or this team playing basketball?
Oof. I don't know.
Oh, Pop with a karaoke machine by far.
I can't imagine Pop with the karaoke machine. Also, oh, yeah. I can't believe that it took Nick Talbot to translate Tom Osborne for, like, wow. That was something. Any other gift ideas?
I don't know.
It's my job to translate y'all's copy. So
a gift about certificate. For one Keldon Johnson to Buc-ee's. Name me a better gas station.
There you go.
I'll come back in 2 weeks with my gas station rankings, and I'll let you know.
Okay.
Have y'all been to the Wawa?
They have a Wawa here now?
No.
Okay. I've been to Wawa up on the East Coast. It's fine.
Y'all travel a lot, so I figured you'd been to Wawa.
I have been there before.
I gotta make a shout out to a small gas station, not one of those giants like Buc-ee's, but Stanley's Ice Station on Commerce Street is pretty damn good. I think Kelvin would have a good time there. Gas is really cheap there too.
Is that what Stanley Johnson is doing now?
It's a good place.
Is this what this podcast has?
Any other gas station recommendations? there's a Chevron.
I got to get the shoot around.
Do you remember the guy a couple of weeks, what started this, the whole viewer mail thing, when he said that we don't talk about basketball, X's, O's and X's enough? Now we're shouting out individual gas stations on Commerce.
And he's still listening to us. The other guy that wrote it isn't even listening.
I hope so. I hope that everybody will come back in the new year. We will talk about more basketball. When we reconvene, we'll have, 6-7 games to discuss. In the meantime, hope everybody out there enjoys your winter holiday season. Take care of each other. Keep it real. See you.